I'm not thinking that this is going to be a huge issue. I mean, I'm hoping that's never not going to be the case. We're taking so many precautions.
A reported oil spill near Haines results in a Coast Guard investigation. And the House Finance Committee adds the Haines Chilcat Portage Dock to the capital budget. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Your neighborhood news up next. The Alaska State Legislature adjourned the 2010 regular session early Monday. Before packing up, lawmakers approved a capital budget that contributes significant funding to upgrades and purchases in the Northern Lynn Canal. Communities Southeast Alaska-wide gained about $11 million in projects in the final few days of additions to the legislature's capital budget. That gives the region about $315 million in state and federal funding. The total budget bill passed by the legislature is about $3 billion, including state and federal money. Two projects got much of the additional money, one of them purchase of the Chilcat Portage Dock in Haines, known formally as the Chilcat Cruises and Tours Dock or the Klukwaneek Dock. $2 million was appropriated by the House Finance Committee for the purchase of the dock for cruise ship passenger access. The only Southeast project to get more in the final days was the Vocational Education Center in Klawak at $3.2 million. Other large items in Southeast include a $3 million increase in funding from $2 to $5 million for a new state office building in the capital city. But not all of the latest changes increased funding. The House Finance Committee version cut maintenance at the governor's mansion from $7 million down to $1 million. In the Northern Lynn Canal, the latest version includes Skagway's passenger vessel lightering and harbor improvements with $4 million and Haines Port Chilcoot dock upgrades with $2.9 million in grant money. The budget includes $800,000 for Skagway's wastewater treatment facility upgrades and $407,000 for the Skagway land purchase. To the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines, the budget includes almost $270,000 for completion of the new Raptor Center. Under emergency repairs, just over $100,000 was allocated to the Dyee Road washout and $80,000 to the Haines Highway Milepost 19 slide area. A dump truck for Klukwan totals close to $33,000. Reconstruction of the Haines Highway from 21 to 25 mile, including replacement of the Chilcat River Bridge, saw $1 million in allocated funds under the Surface Transportation Program. Lawmakers okayed more than $1 million for the Lily Lake Transmission Line in Haines and $7.4 million for the Haines Airport Drainage Improvement and Taxiway. Other recipients are the Skagway Traditional Council for completion of the Public Utility Building at $200,000 and the Southeast Alaska State Fair for ADA upgrades to Harriet Hall at $270,000. Haines Assisted Living made the latest version for further construction at Hall. Additionally, the Haines Senior Citizens Center has funds for maintenance and wheelchair lift purchase. The legislature is still finalizing the details of the bill. Then lawmakers in Alaska communities will have a chance to review projects as it goes to Governor Parnell for his final consideration. The budget will be final by the end of the fiscal year. The U.S. Coast Guard investigated a reported oil spill in the Northern Lynn Canal Monday, but found no sign of the substance. Several Haines residents reported seeing oil on water surfaces from Viking Cove to Pyramid Island.
The slick was like this colorful sheen on the water with a scum line on it.
Don Wright was one of the people who witnessed and reported the oil sheening. He was a passenger in a plane flying from Juneau to Haines on Saturday.
And it reached various areas out into the canal, and it just kept going, and there would be these singular bodies of it floating and with different long arms of it pouring into the different various bays and going around the islands and stuff like that, and Eldred Rock, and I saw a lot of it pouring into Moose Meadows area, Viking Cove, Pyramid Island area. Past Pyramid Island, it looked like there was some of it starting to reach the Chilcat Inlet at the point where it meets the seawater.
Wright decided to check it out up close. Meanwhile, several more residents said they did the same thing in other parts of the canal.
And I went down to Viking Cove area and checked, and I saw some, what I thought looked like some of the sheen on the water. And I touched the water with my hand, and I get a sticky, oily residue on my hand that is actually hard to wash off with soap. And it's almost not visible to the eye. And if you're standing at water level, the sheen's hard to see. From the air, it was very plain to see. And it's the whole canal.
Wright notified the National Response Center, which contacted the Coast Guard, the federal on-scene coordinator for maritime spills in Alaska. Operations Section Chief Chris Kimmery with the Coast Guard says the group sent a chartered helicopter along a route the oil would have likely traveled and talked to people in Haines. They found no more reports or signs of oil, but notified the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of the investigation. The Coast Guard is also overseeing a planned cleanup project currently in progress at the wreckage of the Princess Kathleen at Lena Point between Juneau and Haines. Wright, the witness, believes the Sheen originated at that wreckage site. The Canadian ship ran aground in 1952 and later sank on a changing tide.
I was sitting in the plane. They were flying one of their caravans, and the pilot slowed the plane down so we could see the work project area out in the water. And they've got a barge, like a salvage barge there that they're diving off of, and a couple of tugs. And didn't seem to be anybody around the area, but there was a large slick coming off the work site.
Captain Melissa Burt is with the Coast Guard's Kathleen Project. The state organized the cleanup because they suspected that the ship has periodically released small amounts of unrecoverable oil in the years since its sinking.
Well, we were getting more reports on emulsified black oil coming up in the wreck site. So we felt like we were getting more reports than in the past, and we were able to see that those were attributed to the Princess Kathleen. The fact that there's a lot of freestanding oil in the vessel itself, that tells us that, you know, oil has been escaping over time.
Bernie Rosenberger is working at the Kathleen site. He's a dive supervisor from Global Diving and Salvage.
Our survey in the Princess Kathleen, because of the oil discharge reported by the locals and observed by us when we got on location. The wreck's been down there a while and starting to deteriorate, so the discharge of bunker oil is becoming more of a problem and an issue, and so we're here to hopefully remediate that.
The cleanup project began last year, and the latest phase of the cleanup, the part that actually vacuums the oil from the wreckage, started last weekend. By Monday, workers had removed almost 17,000 gallons of an oil and water mix.
We're at the point now where we're in the oil removal process, and as you know, it's a pretty complex process. We're only at the beginning. We'll be removing oil from the tanks next week, but right now what we're doing is we're going into the overheads and basically trying to get the freestanding oil removed so that we can see where the leaks are in the tanks and plug those before we actually go into the tanks, and also just clear what's in there that's already escaped so that it doesn't get out into the water.
The site crew confirmed early on that the oil was leaking by using an ROV underwater remote camera about the size of a lunchbox.
We were able to float that through the vessel remotely and take some pictures, and that did show some free-floating oil and gave us sort of a generalized picture of what was going on down there. It also showed us how it was sitting in the water. So with that information, the state and the Coast Guard formed a unified command, and we decided that it was probably the right time to take a much better look at what's going on there. We hired global divers to actually send down divers and get a better assessment of what's going on and what oil remained on board.
Further inspection showed the tanks and hull were in good shape, but the superstructure was corroded and subject to collapse.
And that we didn't want a tank to collapse and then have a huge escape of oil into the environment. So that's why we felt like the time was right to do this safely and protect the public before it was an uncontrolled spill.
But Burt says although sheening was expected at the outset of the project, hearing about sightings in the Upper Lynn Canal was not.
We actually we're not really seeing much oil released. I think the reports of sheening have been very, very minor. And we're actually going to do some overflights today with our aircraft to see what has been reported. But I'm not thinking that this is going to be a huge issue. I mean, I'm hoping that's not going to be the case. We're taking so many precautions.
According to oil experts from the Coast Guard's National Strike Force, it takes only a tablespoon of oil to produce a major rainbow-colored sheen. The actual sheen, if collected, would be measured in tenths of a millimeter. Burt says at that level, there's not much that can be done to recover it.
I guess that's why initially when we were looking at the Princess Kathleen and we were seeing sheening, it could have been very small amounts, but the problem is it just dissipates in such a way that you can see that that tiny little rainbow from a very small amount of oil.
Burt explained that the Lena Point site has over 10,000 feet of protective boom pre-staged around it and 600 feet around the vessel itself.
We also have an oil skimming vessel patrolling around the barge. So we're doing everything we can to keep oil out, and a very tiny amount can produce a sheen. So we were getting that before. So I don't know that our operations have changed that in any degree. And in fact, now we're were taking, you know, even more precautions than were in place when the vessel was just seeping oil on its own.
Bird explains that when boom is deployed, it goes all the way to the ocean floor. Since some of those depths reach 300 to 400 feet around the Kathleen, a full circle of boom isn't possible.
But I mean, we're able to put the booming where the tidal current flows and the winds blow predominantly. So actually where we do have the booming is where the oil is tending to go. So if there is any escaped oil, it would go in the direction of the booming. But that's why you don't see a complete encirclement of the operation.
And the Coast Guard takes further precautions than just preparing for the operation of oil removal. They're working with the Strike Force team, which specializes in oil spills, State of Alaska, Boston Maritime, Southeast Alaska Petroleum Resource Organization, and Southeast Alaska Lightering.
If there were to be a catastrophic release, so if a tank collapsed during this operation, we have so many partners who are out there. We've also put soft patches on the hull of the Princess Kathleen to prevent releases, and we're really committed to doing everything we can to stop the oil from getting into the waterway and affecting the public and the wildlife.
The ship rests on a slope at depths between 52 and 134 feet. The area is a popular recreational diving site, and Bert says it can return to that use after the cleanup.
This operation is going extremely smoothly. We're not seeing oil release. There's actually less oil coming off the vessel now than it was before we showed up. So in that regard, it's people should feel comfortable that they're safer now than they were just a month ago.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.